Editor's note, the correct date is May 27, 2010.
All right, this is Jessica Lancia. I am interviewing Anne Dial. It is March 27th, 2010. We are at the Women Rights Southeastern Lesbian Writers Conference in Georgia. And Anne, what is your date of birth?
6/19/40.
Awesome. How did you hear about women rights? Or when did you first start coming?
A very, very long-time friend. That I've known for over 50 years. So,
which friend is that?
Marcia.
Oh.
And, I was living in Florida at the time. And she was up here. And had started coming to Women Rights years before. And always tried to nudge me into coming up to it. I put it off for a very long time, years and years and years. And then finally I came up here probably about, I'd say, 12 to 14 years ago for the first time. And thoroughly enjoyed it, being in the women's space. So I came back subsequently probably, I would say, at least three times. I don't know if they were consecutive or not, but the last time I was here was probably 9 to 10 years ago. So I came a few times. Unfortunately, I wasn't a regular. Because of circumstances, I was unable to come for a long time.
Mm-hmm. So you were living in Miami when you met Marcia?
Marcia? Mm-hmm. Yes.
How long were you in Miami?
I was only in Miami for 2.5 to 3 years. I graduated from high school down there. And Marcia was the first woman I was involved with.
Oh. Where did you guys meet?
Where else in those days? The only place to meet generally was at a bar. I had met an older dyke who more or less assumed my mentorship, and she told me what to say, what to do, how to dress.
What did you have to say, do, and how did you have to dress?
What would act, you know?
I have no idea.
Very butch. Very butch. She took me out shopping, selected a pair of, I remember, gray continental pants, and a white arrow shirt that I wore one time. One time. And decided it was not me. So, things were so rigid in those days, so completely delineated as far as behavior and your identification as butch or femme, that you had to more or less adhere to the peer standards, unfortunately, which were internalized from the greater heterosexual society into the gay and lesbian society, and were no less rigid and demanding.
So you elected to be a butch?
No, I didn't elect. You never elect, I don't think, to be one or the other. It is, at least I didn't. I mean, I don't know, maybe some people did.
Mm-hmm.
After all, being butch has some privileges, just like men have privileges. Even then, you know. So I think I just followed my own nature. Mother Nature. And I was fortunate enough to be raised in a very progressive family unit, and never had any of the horrific, either moral or theological conflicts that so many of the women went through. Individuality was something that was very valuable, and I was just raised that way and always functioned on that level, you know?
So when did you come out to your parents?
Actually, it wasn't until about, I only had my mother and two other half-siblings from her second marriage. I was the only one from her first. I think I walked into the house at about 2 o'clock in the morning one morning and told her that I was going to the Catskills. That I was going to go up there for the summer and some money to go to college the next year. And I came back maybe 8 years later.
So you were 17?
No, I was 19.
19?
19, yeah. And I just took off from the Catskills. We went to California. We were coming back to Miami, driving down through North Carolina. I think it was North Carolina, just coming in North Carolina where Marcia had family there, relatives. And when we finished visiting with them, she was driving and she said, "Well, where do you want to go? Do you want to go to Miami or go to California?" I believe her parents had moved out there from Miami in the interim during that summer. And I said, "California." So we hung around. Then went. So I stayed out there about 10 years. About 10 years, and about the eighth year out there, I flew home to see my mother. And during that time, I told her. Not that she probably didn't know already, although she took it very badly, I must say. Considering her progressive mindset, only because she was so hypersexual.
What did she say? How did she react?
She said, "Well, it's not as though it doesn't stick out on you like a sore thumb." My hip covers and stuff like that. I guess it was my dress, whatever. Boy, I was dressed. But my little sister, who I had despised when I was younger, terribly jealous of her, I think that's all it was. Love her to death, better sense. But she just looked at my mother and said, "Well, she's the same old Anne Marie. You know? No big deal." I think she got over it. It took her about 8 or 9 months, maybe a year. And she got past it. And once she was past it, she was back to her old, totally progressive, supportive self. Mm-hmm. You know?
So were you... I know Marcia was, I talked to her earlier, talking about getting booked in the bars in Miami.
Marcia was the one who went through all of that garbage. I never did, because I kept a low profile. Marcia was much more of an activist, and to be quite honest, she's just a lot more high-strung than I am, mm-hmm. You know? So, she got into a lot of trouble in her younger years. A lot of trouble, actually. Her parents were very fond of me. I guess I kind of grounded her a little bit there. And kept her out of trouble as much as possible. For a while.
Mm-hmm. So, a lot of the women at this conference and just around consider themselves to be lesbian feminist activists.
Yes, they do.
But you do not.
No, I do not.
And why do you not consider yourself to be?
Well, I perceive myself, perhaps erroneously, that activists are people who have the courage and temperament to be totally confrontational with people, with events, and I don't usually do that.
I will be supportive of anyone who has that need to get out there and fight, you know, get out there and fight for whatever it is that they believe is fair and good. But I don't feel that need myself now. That being said, if I'm pushed into a corner, don't back me into a corner, because, you know, I definitely will stand up for myself, and I certainly can be assertive and aggressive at times. But, you know, it's just a matter of a person's temperament and nature, I do believe. And some people just have that active gene, and some people maybe don't. I've never really thought of myself as having it.
But by sort of by direct, I guess if you look at it from one perspective, you're not an activist in the sense that you don't consider yourself to be, and you may not have participated in as many marches and demonstrations. But on another level,
never.
But on another level, I mean, you are quite forthright in doing what you want to do,
yes.
And, you know, in living an alternative lifestyle.
Absolutely.
So how have you been able to navigate that? I mean, I'm assuming that you didn't wear pretty skirts and dresses, and in 1960 that probably make you stand out.
I don't think I've ever owned a dress.
And so how do you deal with the standing out and the repercussions or discrimination as a result of that?
Well, to be quite honest with you, I don't ever remember it being an issue. I mean, I don't believe anyone ever singled me out and said, why are you wearing jeans, or why are you wearing slacks, you know, and a shirt. I just don't remember that ever happening to me.
So in your whole long life, you've never been discriminated against because of your sexual orientation?
Oh, well, about that. There were a few episodic things in California where we would go out after being out at the bars at night and roll into one of the restaurants or cafes, and there would be some obnoxious straight guy in there who would make some rather unfortunate comments. I found that to be very painful and chose not to really expose myself to that sort of situation. As a matter of fact, I probably went out of my way to make sure that it didn't happen again. It was very, very traumatic for me.
Can you describe an incident?
I don't really remember it. I just remember him making comments about the group of people I was with. And they were most unfortunate, I'm sure. They were derogatory. And, you know, queers or whatever words that they use in those days. And I just, you know, probably chose not to go to those restaurants after the bars again after that. It's, like I said, I've always kept a very low profile. I've always been in business for myself so that I didn't have to answer to anyone else about my personal life or lifestyle. And, I am not exactly sure. I consider it to have been rather cowardly on my own part, you know, to have not been more out, especially, I think, probably in the 90s. I mean, up through the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, it was, as far as I'm concerned, I was just being pragmatic, you know? Why would you volunteer to expose yourself to that kind of discrimination? I've never volunteered much for anything, so I'm not the volunteer type. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just went about my own life and
always was in business, and that took up a great deal of my time and energy.
Kind of businesses were you?
I was in the dog business for a very long time. I was in the art business. I was in, I had a pilot car service for about 4 years. And, let's see, after that, the last business was house remodeling.
You did dog grooming?
Yeah, I did show grooming and handling, a little bit of handling.
And?
Healing?
Mm-hmm. And, but you were also in the military at one point.
Briefly. Very briefly.
Can you, do you feel comfortable recounting that experience?
Well, Marcia and I, when we were very young out there, had little or no job experience. So we worked at whatever work we could find while we lived with her parents temporarily. And she came up with this bright idea. I wanted to go ahead and finish college, go back to college, and et cetera, et cetera. So she came up with this bright idea to go into the Air Force.
Why?
Because you were able to continue your education as part of that package. And so I said, okay. We can do that, not having probably fully developed my frontal lobes at that point in time.
you were 20 by this point?
Yeah, I was probably about 21, 22, somewhere right in there. And so we went down and did the signing thing and found out all about it and everything. I don't know, delusionally speaking, she probably thought we were going to get assigned to the same place together, you know? Anyhow, subsequently, you have to go back for your induction. And I did, and she did. The only problem was, I signed, and she didn't. So, that was how I got into the Marine Corps. Actually, it was going to be the Air Force. Then, when I found out she wasn't going to, it all got a lot more serious. And I took off on a bus to go to my grandmother, to see my grandmother in Texas, before going in and being inducted. And, and she made a call to me in Needles, at the bus stop, way over in Needles, California. Just terribly upset about the whole thing. Made me miss my bus connection. And I spent a very, 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 very long 15 hours coming up to the Great Plains from El Paso because of it.
Your grandmother or your,
no,
or Marcia?
Marcia had called and gotten me off my schedule on that bus. So I had to take another bus, which was going the long way, instead of the directorate I would have been on. So I had to spend 15 hours on that bloody bus. Anyway, to make a long story short, I got to Lubbock and spent some time with my grandmother, and then I flew to, I went to Albuquerque, New Mexico, get inducted, and then took three other girls, I think, with me to Parris Island.
Did anybody in the military know you? Were you were still dating Marcia at this point?
Well, yeah, but we were about to be separated for a very long time. So, what happened was, I think it was about a month or two before I was inducted that they had drummed. Oh, by the way, during this time in Lubbock, I had switched from Air Force, which was a 4-year enlistment period, to Marine Corps, which was only a 2. Big mistake. But anyway, I think during that month or two prior to my being inducted in, they had drummed 350 women out of the Corps. In those days, all it took was two people saying they thought you were gay.
They didn't have to have any kind of proof whatsoever. Could have been somebody that just didn't like you, or had a grudge against you, or, you know, something of that nature. And you were gone, dishonorably discharged. So, yeah, it was a very, very scary thing. You never logged out of the barracks with the same person twice, friend-wise, had to be very, very careful where you went and what you did. Many of the women would go up to Washington, D.C., and go out there. They were going to go out. And then, of course, they had their secret rendezvous places at the lakes and things like that where they'd go and get together and party a little bit. But always keenly aware of the fact that they could be in some very serious trouble. And I was quite aware of that. Which didn't make itself a really pleasurable experience. I mean, you know, it didn't lend itself to being any fun whatsoever. Besides, I was never military material. A little bit too much of a free spirit for that. They did teach me how to clean, though.
How did you get out of it?
Well, that was another matter. Marshall was Jewish, and I kind of had been in her family for such a long time at that point that I always jokingly said I was Jewish by osmosis. And War Star David, although I did not put down on my military records that I was Jewish, I left that open. So, when I had finally had enough after that Potomac incident in the river with my friend getting busted down in rank to private,
what was that incident?
I had a really good friend from Boston who drank a little too much. And she jumped in the Potomac River, which was a no-no. I was stationed at Quantico, where OCS school was. And I was seriously contemplating going to OCS school. And one night we went out and she had a lot to drink, and we came back and we were down by the Potomac River and she jumped in. And I had to jump in to get her out. So we logged into the barracks soaking wet, and they knew we had been in the water. And so the next day we were pulled into the captain's office. And they busted her. So I think she was a Lance Corporal or something like that. They busted her back to private. And me, when I went in to have words with the captain, she just asked me a few questions, and I wasn't going to say anything, and wasn't going to say I was with anyone. And then when I turned around to leave, she just said, "You know, the next time you go on the Potomac River, take a buddy with you." And that was the end of it for me. And I could see right then at that moment that there was going to be a vast, vast discriminatory attitude between enlisted and officers. And I really didn't want any part of it. So it was about that time that I started my campaign against the Marine Corps to get out. I think I'd only been in about 6 or 8 months at that point in time. And my campaign was that I was an artist and that my temperament was ill-suited to military life, and that I was Jewish, and that they were totally anti-Semitic. And I said, if you don't let me out, an honorable discharge, they're going to hear me screaming all the way up at headquarters, my Marine Corps. And they complied. They let me out. No fuss, no muss.
But you still had to figure out a way to get out.
Yeah, well, that's when we forged all those papers and I flew home free.
Right. So what happened?
Not a thing. I got to fly to Omaha. And from Omaha, I struck up a conversation with a captain who was flying a much smaller plane down to, where the heck was it? Someplace in Oklahoma, I believe. And I went with them on that flight. You know, you hop from one place to another, you kind of zigzag across the country if you don't get a direct flight. And he even let me fly.
You didn't have your ID.
No, I didn't. But they don't ask for it on the planes. They ask for it when you check in to get your flight, if they have flights available. That's the only time they ask for your ID.
So
that was, like I said, the day that President Kennedy was coming through. And that's the only thing that saved me from being probably totally discovered as an imposter at that point. And thrown into the brig with the key gone. You know, literally. They would have done that to me. They would have. And like I said, for a couple of years after that, I kind of worried that there was a paper trail of those flights that they might, you know, might put two and two together and discover what I'd done, but they never did.
What year was this that Kennedy was there?
When was Kennedy assassinated? Because it was not too long after that he was assassinated.
John F. Kennedy was assassinated in 65, Robert in 68.
Okay, so it must have been about 63 or 64 then, right in that area. Because I was in California when I heard the news, and I really was upset because he was assassinated in my hometown. So, that was something of a... One of the few, really, what I consider to be bad, dishonest things that I've done. It was kind of bad, but I was really ticked off at those people. I was really ticked off at them.
So where do you live now?
I live in Northeast Georgia.
How did you end up there from California?
Well, from California, well, I came back to Atlanta and lived in Atlanta from probably about 68 to about 70. Lived in Atlanta for those 2 or 3 years there. And from there I went down to Orlando. And from 70 on through two and a half years ago, I was home based in Florida, which I hate. Always have hated.
Why do you live here?
I got down there, I was a woman. Marshall moved down there. I followed down there after about 6 months. And then we broke up after 13 and a half years. But, you know, that's such is life, you know. I got into business, met somebody immediately 4 days later, and had a 21-year relationship with her, and went into business for myself. And once I was in business, you know, you get married to it. I mean, you can't get out of it. It's every day, 24/7 practically. You're dealing with it. And so I kind of got anchored there. And I started a women's business group, gay women's business group down there. And it was pretty good back in the... I'd say, when was it, about 80s? 80s, I was down there? No, 70s. 70s. In 80s, there was a pretty large gay group of women down there who were much more active. And
what was the purpose of the group?
I hosted. I had a large place out in Longwood, and we would host monthly kind of like sports and swimming and potluck dinners out there every month. And then there was another group who had floating potlucks called Moonlight. Moon parties, they're called Moon parties. And, you know, there was just a more of a community.
It was a social thing.
Social.
thing, and then of course there was the gay women's business group, and some of them were politically inclined. One of them's still in politics down there now. But you know, it was a nice time, and there were some fairly decent bars to go out to and dance and stuff like that. And so it was a reasonably nice time to be there. And yeah, I think it was probably, let's see, 89. I retired in 89. So, I think, after that, I did, you know, quite a bit of traveling. So, both in the country and Canada and South America. And then I went to Australia and New Zealand, because Marcia had moved over there. So I had a home base to work out of for a year, and did what I wanted to do over there. That was about the time when that second relationship broke up. And so I popped back and forth, you know, back in and out of Florida until about 2.5 years ago. And just kind of did other things. But really, I haven't had that exciting one. It just has been kind of boring, I guess you could say.
Well, but it's interesting to talk to someone who's lived their life on the margins, but
I,
if you would say that.
Yeah, I would say low profile, marginalized, even within the gay community. Because of the fact that I really resented, on a spiritual, if you want to call it that, mental level, the internalization of the heterosexual culture within our own. I mean, I wanted to see women create their own culture, not based on male culture. I mean, it was our culture before it was theirs, literally. And I do believe that women have lost the capacity in the past 5,000 years to even know what their own culture is. I think they're trying to rediscover it now, many of them. But I'm not so sure that they can do that, because it's so ingrained in them.
So why didn't you join, let's say, a women's land community? That sort of seems to be part of the...
I'm not a joiner. I'm just not a joiner. I never have been a joiner. I like doing things my own way. You know? I like the freedom of it. And like I said, women, even in the cultures that they're creating now, these cultures are, the paradigm is still kind of male to me. It's like, almost like cultish, in the sense that they are want to create their own little world, and they want, if you're going to live in their little world, they want you to live a certain way.
The way it reminds you of
that reminds me
system.
Yes, it does. It reminds me of the patriarchal system. And I just don't have an affinity for it. I just don't have an affinity. Women I have an affinity for. Them doing their own thing I have an affinity for. But I want to be able to do my own thing too, and I don't want anyone telling me how to think or feel or act. Not that I'm out of the box, you know? I don't think I'm out of the box. Mentally, I might be in many areas. Mentally, I have a different concept about a lot of things, which is not real palatable to a lot of women. So I keep my mouth shut, like I always have. Learned when I was a kid to keep my mouth shut. At least I suffer the consequences.
So being almost apolitical that is your politics.
Ah, a dirty word. Politics. Yeah. I have no position, no political position, because I feel... Have you ever read Sonia Johnson? My feeling about politics is pretty much the same as hers, and that would be that all that ever happens is the changing of the guard when it comes to politics. Politics, in and of itself, is based on the religious model. Religion started it, started that particular concept, political concept, and I think basically it was just elaborated on for most governmental policies and for most governmental models. Although ours is the best that's come along in quite a while, I'm sure. But it's not the last word in democracy, by any means. And, if we get the opportunity to evolve any further, should we not snuff ourselves out before that, I'm sure that there will be other concepts to come along that will be probably, hopefully, a lot better than this one. But no, I don't mess with politics at all. I have great distaste for it.
Just political women.
Those I always admire. I admire women who get up and do things. You know? Get up and try to make the world a better place. I really do. I admire their courage. I admire their tenacity. I admire everything about them. You know? Unless they're junior males. Mm-hmm. In which case, I do not admire them.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground, so thank you. Mm. Is there anything we're missing? Any other story you'd like to share?
Gosh, I don't know what's pertinent to you and what isn't. You know, there's lots of stories. I mean, you know, been around a long time. But I don't know exactly what your focus is going to be.
We're just trying to get a snapshot of lesbian life in its multiple forms, especially in the South.
Well, see, now I'm not a Southerner.
You just lived in Florida your whole life.
I was raised up north and out west a lot of my life, so I consider myself not a Southerner. Not a Southerner, and how I wound up in Georgia. Well, I just like mountains. What the heck? I can patch through and do whatever I want to do anywhere, so I guess, you know, didn't really matter. But this place is not exactly, the South is not exactly prime real estate for gay people. You know? I wouldn't say.
So if you were to choose 5 words to identify yourself.
5 words. That's... I thought that. I'm a very curious person. I like to know what makes people tick.
Curious?
Mm-hmm. So, let's see. Curious. Peaceful. I'm a peaceful person, I suppose. I really love science. I really love science, so I guess I would have to say I'm very, well, I could say inquisitive, but that would be redundant with curious, I suppose, wouldn't it? I don't know. 5 words. I'm very intense. I'm a very intense person, mentally and emotionally.
Would lesbian be on your identity list?
You know, I always considered myself a human being first, and a lesbian second. So
woman and lesbian would not make the cut?
Oh, woman, yes. Woman, yes, absolutely. Never wanted to be anything but a woman. You're going to force me to be a man. Ugh. Trouble. I feel sorry for the poor bastards. I really do. But they made this world what it is, so I don't feel too sorry. You know? I really do. Not feel too sorry for them. But, okay, so woman. I have never, you know, lesbian, more so now than any other time in my life, probably. Yes. I'm a woman lover, that's for sure, you know. I would have to say that. And I'm a nature lover, so. How many words have we gotten through?
I mean, a lot.
Okay, we're done.
That's fine. All right, well, thank you so much.
Hey, no, I think it's very interesting you're doing a study.
Yeah.